Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Jerry's here too, and this is Stuff You Should Know. Another linguistic, fantastic, gigantic edition.
Divisive.
I guess. Really, though, I mean, if you're standing up against the use or overuse of the word like, just take your head out of the hole and look around and see other things that are really worth your time and effort and attention and energy.
Yeah. We've gotten the random email here and there. And like you said, we're talking about the word like, not as in like you said, although we're going to cover all the, you know, supposedly proper uses.
Yeah, also, we're going to accidentally use like or unconsciously use it, and this is going to be a really confusing episode.
Yeah, because it's how people talk for the most part, and it's not just young girls, as we'll see. That's true. Sort of a sexist thing to think and a misnomer. We all do it, generally, unless you are one of those people who thinks that it debases the human language and speech, and you have taken a real stand against it, you know. Godspeed if that's the hill you want to die on, but like, it ain't mine.
No. Some people get so into it, they throw cow's blood on people on the street when they use the word like. So, Chuck, let's talk about the word like itself.
Okay.
Because there is like plenty of, oh my God, I just did it. There is plenty of good usage or accepted usage of it that's not controversial at all.
Sure.
Which makes sense because it's been with us for a really long time. Apparently, like goes all the way back to Old English. That's some old English, right? Eight ball, 800.
Yeah. And
there's a word called gelitched. And I looked it up. It is liched, even though you'd think it was litched, L-I-T-C-H. That's how it's pronounced. But it's spelled G-E-L-I-C, gelitch. And
old
basically,
English.
Yeah. And basically it meant with the body. Leich meant body, really it meant corpse. So that was the like literal meaning of gelitched.
Right. So practically speaking, gelitched meant with the body of, and then eventually kind of similar to, and then over time, because language changes, thank goodness we don't speak Old English anymore, gelitched, that's even hard to say on its own. That was shortened to just L-I-C, which I guess would just be leich.
Yeah.
And by then, it had lost the connection to corpse and body and became the root of the word like, as in similar to.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating? It originally meant corpse, and it meant related to the corpse. Then it meant to with the body of or similar to, and then just similar. Boom, bam, bam.
I love it. And for a long, long time, it was used in Old English, like as a suffix. And then that carried over like F-O-L-C-L-I-C would have been, I guess, folkleicht. Sounds German, like folk-like, in other words, folksy. But then, you know, Americans started using it like, you know, Josh looks angry-like, or that person is saint-like. And sometimes we still use it like that, but in general, we came up with L-Y to stick on the end of a word to make it an adverb. And so we got words like slowly and saintly instead of saint-like and slow-like.
Yeah, so Lee, L-Y, seems to be have evolved into an abbreviation for like. It still means the same thing, we just say it differently. It's abbreviated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The verb to like means like to be pleasing or sufficient, right?
Sure.
Originally, it operated in reverse. Dave helped us with this, by the way. Great job, Dave. But if you liked something, it wasn't expressed as you like it. It was that the thing you like likes you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example from the Two Gentlemen of Verona Shakespeare play where one says to one character says to another, the music likes you not, which means you don't like the music.
Yeah.
And then eventually everybody was like, we sound insane talking like this and made it the way that it should be, which is how we say it today, which would just be you don't like the music.
Yeah. there was other weird usages back then that is that have all since sort of gone away. Things earlier, I guess up through the 17th century, you could say liker or likest.
No.
Like could use almost or nearly, as in like that play was so boring, I liked to fell asleep. Like mm-hmm. I almost fell asleep.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then I believe in about the mid-19th century, which was a pretty late on the scene usage, was feel like I feel like going bowling, as in I'm in the mood to go bowling.
I should have said that likes me.
Right. Bowling likes you.
Yeah. So since this has been around, what, just for probably close to 1,000 years, maybe more, Old English is around for a while. It's like has evolved, but as far as words go, it's really, really evolved, and it's still evolving before our very eyes. But over the years, in modern English, some widely accepted, grammatically correct uses of like have come about.
Only 5.
Yeah, don't even try to go beyond that.
Yeah, there are supposedly only 5 as a verb, obviously, meaning to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have to explain that. As a noun, like here is a list of my likes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My turn. Similar to, which is kind of like of the body, the original version of like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a preposition. So like you smell like a wet dog. Or there's an example in here. That looks like your spatula. What situation would that arise in?
A chef cooking competition.
I guess so. Where it was stolen by the evil chef.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the looks friend,
like your spatula, Josh.
Like the wingman friend chef is like, that looks like your spatula.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we figured it out. I feel better now.
We figured it out. What else? A conjunction replacing as, you know, like my dad always said, don't bother me for advice. Oh, sorry. I was getting personal.
Like Josh always said, never trust family.
Exactly. The mm-hmm. famous quote.
Okay. So those are the ones. Oh, there's one more as a suffix. Like, remember we said saintly or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like still hangs around in some cases. Like you wouldn't say that guy's innocent approach to nature is very childly. It's childlike.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't that interesting that they mean the exact same thing, but you could use one for in one instance, but not in another. They're not just interchangeable. I love that.
Yeah. And childlike is not childish. Two different things there too.
Exactly. But there's no such thing as childly, I think is my larger point.
Sure.
That's pretty much the point of the entire podcast, really.
Yeah. And my point is childlike is wonderful and childish is awful.
True that.
We should do one on ish. That's a good one.
I looked it up. I wondered if that came from lich or leitch, and it doesn't. It's an even older word, I think, that means from the country of or the origin of. So yeah. You would be Georgia-ish.
Yeah. And now people, even my own daughter the other day, I asked her something and she went, ish.
Yeah. It'd be worth one for sure down the road.
Maybe a shorty.
Okay.
Shortish. A short-like episode.
Should we? A shortly episode. Should we take a breakly?
Surely.
Okay. Let's do that now.
Very interesting.
Break, 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 break.
Hey, everybody, Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky.
Hey everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. I just got to say, this is getting pretty fun.
You knew it was going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't know. Sure. Okay. I figured we'd be slinging the slang. And that's where we come to now, actually. Good setup, me. The slang of like is where some people tend to get upset. It's interesting. Dave here says most people believe that any use of like outside those acceptable ways is meaningless. Mm-hmm. I would say some people. I don't think most people believe that at all.
Right. I thought that was an odd word to use, too.
Yeah. Come on, Dave.
I can't tell you the last time I ran into anybody who really had an issue with it. We haven't gotten an email on it for a while, but every once in a while, someone will write in, and you could tell they're just like bleeding from their eyeballs. Like they hate us so much because we use the word
ears.
Like. Yeah. And it's just like, I can't do anything for you, man. I'm not going to stop talking the way I talk for you.
Yeah. That's
sorry.
That's the way it is.
Nothing personally.
Yeah, of course. The slang that we're talking about, though, that people have a problem with, and these people are generally like, you know, it's filler. It's not even a word. It's basically your or your you're abusing it. You're overusing it. And some people even go so far as to say, like I mentioned earlier, like you're destroying the English language.
Okay. So those people just, I guess, buckle up because this is the part we're going into now, because it turns out If you hang out with the hip linguists, they will tell you, man, like really performs a lot of like really important functions.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they would say to you.
PhDs.
Exactly. Exact-like.
So Dave wrote up a little script. Do you want to play guy number one or guy number two?
I would like to be guy two.
Okay. You know what's funny is this sounds like a conversation we would have.
It totally does.
Backstage.
At the mall?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Guy number one. That's me.
Okay.
Hey, Josh, have you like seen what they're charging for the new Jordans?
I know. They're like $1 million. Like, who can afford this stuff?
I think they're like $250 at Foot Locker, which is still crazy.
Like, I get that they're cool and everything, but if I paid $250 for shoes, Yumi would be like, we're getting a divorce. And scene.
So we're going to break this down. And I thought this is a pretty good way for Dave to go about this. So hats off to Dave. But we're going to break this down because every single use of the word like in that dramatic scene that we just portrayed for everyone. Mm-hmm. Wonder why our TV show got canceled. They all have a use. They all have a function, and those functions even have names.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not like they made up these names for like. They said these terms, these different kinds of grammatical usage that make up a lot of slang, especially in American spoken English. That's very important. We're mm-hmm. talking almost exclusively here about spoken English.
Yeah.
That like fills some of those already established compartments.
All right. So what's first?
The first is the way that I think most people who like deride like what they focus on the most, which is called a quotative, technically a quotative complementizer.
Yeah.
Which basically what you're saying that it sets up an impression, a paraphrase of what another person had said, would said, might say. Like when I said Yumi would be like, we're getting a divorce, I'm not expecting you to believe in that conversation that Yumi told me that she's going to divorce me if I spend $250 on some Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the sentiment is generally true, maybe if a little exaggerated. So what that like is doing right there is signaling to you in conversation, hey, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt here. I'm fudging a little bit, but I'm still just trying to get a general point across.
Yeah, and also, Dave points out, it can also be used to set up like a mimic or like an impression of the speaker. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it there because you're respectful of Yumi.
Right.
But another gentleman might say, you know, my wife would be like, we're getting a divorce.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah. It is used a lot of times to set up, or like, you know, let's say it was Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
Let's Sammy hear. Sammy would be like, hey, man, I'm going to file tomorrow for divorce.
That was lovely. That was right. Love-like.
So the next thing we can talk about is the approximate adverb usage in this scene. That is when it's used, and this is very, very common. This is when it's used to mean, you know, around, pretty much, more or less, just about. Like when I said, I think they're like $250 at Foot Locker.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, there were 200 or 300 people there. Like there were like 200 or 300 people there. The bill was like $70 or something. That means you're rounding up or you're approximating something.
Yeah. And again, in this sense too, like signals to the listener, like, hey, don't fully take what I'm saying as fact. I'm not trying to be 100% accurate here. I'm trying to get a general idea across that this is really expensive. I saw a paper in the journal Autism and Developmental Language Impairments by Jones, Zane, and Grossman, 2022, red hot still off the presses.
Yeah.
And they use this example of somebody saying like, I have like 100 pair of shoes, right? You could have 40 pairs of shoes. And because you use the word like, that still gets the point across and you're speaking, you're communicating in like a still essentially an accurate way. What you're saying is I have a lot of shoes. Now it's actually 60 less than the number I just threw up, but it doesn't matter because 40 is still a pretty big number.
Right.
what like is doing here is standing in for approximately. And in this case, approximately wouldn't work. Because if you said, I have approximately 100 shoes, and you actually have 40, that number is so way off that you're essentially either lying or totally incorrect. Like scuttles all that and says, hey, just go with me here a little bit. I'm just saying I have a bunch of shoes.
Yeah, it really covers your bases.
That's a legitimate function of conversation.
No, absolutely. I do want to poke Dave here just once, because one example he used was the movie starts at like 2 or 3. I'm like, well, that's a case, Dave.
That's kind of important.
You should be pretty specific.
Dave's always late.
He's always late for movies. all right, what's next? We have the discourse marker, right?
Yeah, this is pretty important too.
Right. So this is probably something that you didn't know that it was called this, but we all use discourse markers all the time. He found another linguist named Anne Kurzan, who has this analogy where it's like traffic. A discourse marker is like a traffic signal or road sign that help you navigate spoken English. Mm-hmm. And like is very versatile in this function because it can mean a bunch of different things as a discourse marker. The first of which, like you said, it could be exaggeration. Mm-hmm. And in this case of our scene, I know these Jordans are like $1 million. You know, it's obviously not $1 million, but it sets it up as I'm clearly exaggerating.
Yeah, it's similar to the pair of shoes thing too, where if I said, I know they're $1 million, you'd be like, no, they're not. That's a little high.
I am from Russia.
Right. In Mother Russia, Air Jordans buy you. In Russia, music likes you not.
It can used.
Sorry,
it can be
Yakov.
Used as a discourse marker for emphasis in our scene. Have you seen what they're charging for these new Air Jordans?
Mm-hmm.
So like just sort of emphasizes scene, and it just sort of pumps up that like, hey, it's something outrageous is about to come your way.
Yeah. Another one is like, let me elaborate. So when I think I said like, who can afford this stuff? I'm actually elaborating on a previous sentence about how expensive they are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really expensive. Let me elaborate. Who out there could afford this stuff? That's how expensive they are. Just adding like right there cuts down on all that extra fat. It trims it like a Packer in 1906 in Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, there are probably people out there that are saying, well, you could drop the word like in a lot of these instances, maybe not the $1 million one and stuff like that, but you could say in that sentence, who can afford this stuff? And I get that, but that doesn't mean that putting like in is bad necessarily.
Right. And who wants to sound like Larry David all the time?
Right.
Nobody.
Larry David.
Yeah, I guess.
What else? What's surprise?
It's funny. It gets across surprise, but you have to use it in a really unsurprised tone for it to be effective. So, for example, if somebody you would not expect showed up at a party and you went, she's here. You can kind of get that across, like I'm really surprised that she's here. I'm maybe a little chilled that she's here. She should not be here, that kind of thing. But if you say she's like here, that really gets it across a little better. But you can't be like, she's like here. That doesn't work. You have to tone it down and do the opposite. And then it conveys surprise. It's fascinating. It's amazing that this is how we talk, and nobody's writing this stuff down. The linguists are writing this stuff down from studying what people are doing in real time in conversation. This is not part of like the modern language association's like handbook.
Yeah, for sure. The last one we're going to talk about is as a discourse particle. And this is the one, this is the real bad guy as far as like haters go, don't you think?
Probably, yeah. I think this is
the one that people will say is clearly just inserted in there as filler. It is the one that is infecting our language, is this discourse particle use. And that is, I believe the woman who wrote the book, Alexandra Darcy, she's a linguist, said, I believe a PhD, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. said that using it as a discourse particle doesn't change the meaning of a sentence necessarily, but it does set a tone and operates in the interpersonal realm.
Exactly. Right. So, for example, if you are talking about somebody who you just like, they've made some bad life choices or whatever, and you're expressing this to somebody else, but you don't want to make it sound like you don't like that person. Like, you want to express that you still like that person, but they've made some bad life choices and you're a little disappointed in that. You could say two things. You could say, I love her, but she's dumb. Right?
Uh-huh.
If you, like, you sound kind of like a jerk. So what you can do is use like. You can pepper sentences with like to kind of pad it. For example, you would say, like, I love her, but she's, like, dumb. That's, it gets across to the listener, like, hey, I still care about this person. I'm not really putting them down. I'm just trying to get across some stuff that I'm just getting something off my chest here between you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of, it works as a softener, like this example too. If someone asks you to go do something, like, hey, Josh, you want to go to dinner? And you said, sorry, I'm tired. That's like, oh, well, Josh clearly doesn't want to have dinner with me.
Correct.
But if you said, sorry, I'm just like really tired, then that just softens things. Like, the interpretation is, I would really love to go to dinner with you, but I'm tired.
Correct.
And you don't have to say all that other stuff.
No, no, it's a softener. That's a really great way to put it. I think that's how John McWhorter put it, the linguist. And it also works in reverse too, because it acts as a shielding, right? You're shielding the other person's feelings by adding those likes. You're saying, like, I don't dislike you. I'm not trying to be mean here. I know you're probably going to be disappointed, so I want to just kind of get this information across as gently as possible. And peppering it with likes does that. But like I said, it works in reverse. It shields the speaker too in some cases. It acts as a hedge to where you are saying, you're giving yourself plausible deniability. You're not saying, I'm 100% confident in what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure, but because I'm adding like, it's hedging it so that if I'm wrong, it's not the end of the world. It's not that much egg on my face. So if you were asking, if somebody asked what you were or what you did for a living, and I didn't know, I could say, I think like he's a podcaster, or I think he's like a podcaster. That's like, it just hedges it a little bit. And it protects the speaker in this case rather than protects the receiver, but it's the same function essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we do that all the time when we're just pulling something off the dome we're not sure about.
Yeah, but people still email in and tell me how wrong I am.
Well, Alexandria Darcy would say that if you use like as a discourse particle, then that means that you are emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
That means you have very much an awareness of who you're speaking to and how your words are being received. And there have been studies that have shown that when people hear speech that do not have like or other discourse particles, that and you know is another one, you know, that people sound robotic and unfriendly and unnatural, and that these discourse particles conversationally make people feel at ease.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like hard water, and the likes are water softeners.
Right.
That's the best I can come up with.
Should we take another break?
Yes.
All right. We will be right back. Hey, everybody. Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, It really is rain. Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky.
Hey there, everybody. Here's some bonus stuff you should know. This time it's about traveling to Orlando for business. Orlando has tons of places to host your conferences and meetings. Dr. Michael Edwards, CEO of Ocean Insight, said it best. Orlando is as much a business capital as an entertainment one. And when the day is done, you can kick off each evening at one of 46 Michelin-rated restaurants. What's not to love? So check out Orlando, where the possibilities for business travel are unbelievably real. Learn more at OrlandoForBusiness.com.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
So, Chuck, if you ask people, even people who use the word like where did the use of like come from? When did we start using like in English, spoken English? Most people would, if given the chance to think about it, say Valley Girls. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Valley Girls. Valley Girls or Teletubbies, one of the two. And you'd be like, it wasn't Teletubbies. But also, it wasn't Valley Girls. Valley Girls popularized it, but right. We were using like way before. But one of the reasons why people think Valley Girls is in part because of a 1982 song by Frank Zappa that introduced Valley Girls to the United States. Like, they were pretty much confined to the San Fernando Valley until that Frank Zappa song came along, I think.
Yeah, and this is, you know, part of Greater Los Angeles, if you're not familiar. But in 82, he put out the song Valley Girl with his daughter Moon Zappa, and it really, you know, sort of mocked that way of speaking. The movie Valley Girl was, it was not for the movie. The movie came out a year later, and that obviously made it even more popular. Other movies like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then later in the 90s with Clueless, which brought other terms that a lot of people hate, like whatever and as if. But like you said, these things really popularize it. It didn't invent it, and we know it because there's actual proof. If you go back even just a little while and look at history of in the 1950s and 1960s with the beats and the hep talk or jive talk, bebop, they were saying like crazy and writing it in their books. It was all over the place.
Yeah. So Dave gives some examples of bop talk or jive talk or jazz talk. Crazy was one. We use that a lot. Cool. The Tops, that reminds me of Mel Torme. Gone, as in Gone Girl. Dig, hip. And then he includes et cetera, which I didn't realize was bop talk. I thought that was Latin.
That's funny. You almost got me. But they would use the word like a lot. Like, you know, that cat is like crazy. Or, you know, like he is so square. Or like I was really grooving. Mm-hmm. You know, they used it basically in the exact same way, approximate adverbs, discourse markers, and discourse particles,
right.
The same way Valley Girls in the 80s used it in the same way people of all stripes use it today.
Yeah, and if you were into jazz at the time, you were probably somewhat familiar with bop talk, but it filtered into the Beats, who kind of introduced it to an even wider audience in the United States. Like, it pops up here or there in On the Road from Jack Kerouac.
Sure.
So we know at least as far back as the Beats, and probably before that in the, with jazz musicians in the 40s, like was used in the same slangy way that we use it now, multiple ways we use it now. But that the Valley Girls are the ones that seem to have introduced or at least popularized that the latest version or use of like, which is that quotative version where it sets up a paraphrase quote.
Yeah. And I think they did not find, and you know, they dug around, I believe, that Darcy in her book found uses in England in the 19th century mm-hmm. where they would use the word like in several different ways that we use it now. Mm-hmm. But that one, the, what was it called again?
What? The quotative use?
Yeah, yeah, the quotative. That's the one that seems to have really been truly born in the 80s.
Yeah, and it's probable or possible that Valley Girls did not make that up, but it became part of Valley Girl Val speak, along with like Gag Me with the Spoon and Totally Tubular. And
all teenagers talk like that back then.
Yeah, but apparently ground zero for it was the Valley, that's where it emerged from. At the very least, that's where people thought that it emerged from. Like kids,
I think it's that.
Kids in Ohio weren't necessarily talking like that. I know my sisters didn't talk like that until those movies came out.
I heard stuff like that. I think it popularized it, but I think teenagers were... I mean, maybe not some of the particular phrases, mm-hmm. but the use of like, you know, was definitely around before that movie.
Okay. No, for sure.
I mean, pop
for sure.
Popularly.
Right. Okay. But most people point to or were exposed to it from Valley Girls. Not the movie. Yeah. I'm saying like the concept, the social trend, Valley Girls.
Right. Okay. Because of the movie.
Right. So that's the one that most people associate with Valley Girls for a reason. They're the ones who popularize it. But people blame Valley Girls for the whole use of like in a lot of ways. And it's kind of translated since the early 80s into young girls. You don't have to be Valley Girls. Like the idea is just young girls talk like that. They're the ones who use like all the time. They are infecting the language. That's what some people think. And that apparently is not just incorrect factually, it's pretty sexist in the way that disco demolition night riot where people were right. just going crazy on disco records in Chicago was homophobic.
Yeah. And racist.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a history of that still goes on today of sort of thinly veiled, coded, like it's okay to, like it's not okay to make fun of someone because of, you know, their age or because of their gender identity or their ethnicity or something. But it's still generally okay to make fun of the way someone might talk. And that oftentimes is coded, in this case, for young women.
Yeah, because kind of as a rule, the contributions, the intellectual contributions of young women in the United States are not, there's not a huge high emphasis on them. Traditionally, there hasn't been, especially among older men. They're very much looked down upon. But again, you can't just be like, you're stupid because you're a 20-year-old girl. But you could say, like, you sound really immature because you use like a lot. It's still the same thing. You've just found a different entree into devaluing that person's contributions or that group's contributions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you need not look any further than someone like Greta Thunberg.
You know? Does she use like a lot?
No, I'm just talking about when she first came on the scene.
Yeah.
Sort of all you heard about was like, oh, you know, this young girl.
She's a rabble rouser.
I think it's said, you know, generally derisively by a lot of people, generally older men in politics for sure.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a great example of it. So I said factually that doesn't make, it's not accurate. Our linguist heroes, Darcy and Catherine Kinsler, and others have studied this. They actually do studies to find out who actually uses like, and they found that in general, just using like, men and women use it with about the same frequency. But when you dig down a little further, you drill down into it to get into the real granular meat of the whole subject. Kind of like a 1906 Packer in Chicago with a really sharp knife and tuberculosis, you find that there are distinctions between age and gender that in the use of like in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. So what they found was for the approximate adverb form, meaning, you know, almost or just about, men and women use it equally. The discourse particle, like the softener or the interpersonal like, men actually use it more frequently than women. The discourse particle form, like, what's a good example there?
The discourse marker would be like emphasis, like, have you seen?
Oh, okay, yeah. That one, they found that women do use it more frequently. Mm-hmm. The big one was the new kid on the block in the 80s, a quotative complementizer.
It's such a stupid word.
It really is. That's the one that is significantly used more frequently by women than men.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also there's this idea that it's just the younger generations that use it. And the younger generations definitely use it more frequently and in more interesting and diverse ways. But it still filters to other age groups. And there's apparently Darcy included some quotes from Brits in their 70s to 90s, who were using like in ways that we recognize as the slang uses of like. Like one of them says, a 75-year-old respondent said, they were just like sitting waiting to die. Can you do a 75-year-old British woman impression?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
yeah, I mean, you know, clear examples of people of a certain age using the word like. The one big exception is the quotative like, which is supposedly women use, or not supposedly, I guess they found in their study, use more than men. And it's also almost exclusively used by younger people. But again, younger people are always the ones that are changing language and thinking up new words,
right,
and trying out new usages since the beginning of time.
Yeah. So there's a larger question that we still haven't fully answered, and that is, like, do the people who hate like and say it's infecting the language, do they have a point? And it turns out the answer is no, not really. They have some sort of weird personal vendetta, which may or may not be sexist in nature, or ageist at least, that if you look at how the word like is used, it provides all sorts of unique functions that other words don't necessarily fill. Like, remember I said approximately would work in some cases, but not in other cases. Like has carved, or we've used like to carve out or fill voids that no other words had filled before in spoken English language. And yes, it looks weird on paper,
yeah,
but we're not talking about on paper. We're talking about in a conversation. And like is a way that people make sure that you're with them still when they're talking to you, that you feel included, that your feelings are being acknowledged. It provides all sorts of really interesting functions.
It does. And in short, it's just the way people talk generally.
Yes, for sure.
All right.
Well, if you want to know more about like, just start listening and you will drive yourself mad. And if you don't feel like doing that, just read some linguistic papers on it. There's some interesting stuff out there. And since I said that, it's time for Listener Mail.
I'm going to call this Simpsons Clue,
okay,
the board game.
All right, yeah.
Hey, guys, just finished the episode on Clue. I am so excited to tell you this about the Simpsons Clue board game. Maybe you saw it in your research, but it is so on brand for you two. I had to make sure that you were aware of its existence. In the game, Mr. Burns is murdered. And the characters are Marge as Mrs. Peacock, Homer as Mr. Green, Lisa as Miss Scarlet, Bart as Professor Plum, Krusty as Colonel Mustard, and Smithers as Mrs. White. Apparently, this was later changed.
Okay.
The weapons included Lisa's saxophone, plutonium rod, Bart's slingshot, Lisa's necklace, Extendo Glove, and a Poisoned Donut. The locations are obviously all around Springfield. You got Moe's, the Retirement Castle, the Simpsons House, Mr. Burns' office, and the Quickie Mart. And of course, there are lots of Easter eggs. It's just so perfect. As a kid that religiously watched the Simpsons reruns every night, getting Simpsons Clue was the best birthday present I could think of and the only version I have ever had. Thank you for all the hours of entertainment and third wheeling to your conversations, or I guess fourth wheeling with Jerry. I love you guys. That is from Margaret Niehoff.
Thanks, Margaret. That was a great email. I really feel the urge to go out and buy the Simpsons Clue.
Totally.
If you want to subliminally act upon us in some sort of way that hopefully is helpful, like getting us to want to buy a really great board game like Margaret did, you can get in touch with us too. Send us a very nice email to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. Hey there, everybody. Here's some bonus stuff you should know. This time it's about traveling to Orlando for business. Orlando has tons of places to host your conferences and meetings. Dr. Michael Edwards, CEO of Ocean Insight, said it best. Orlando is as much a business capital as an entertainment one. And when the day is done, you can kick off each evening at one of 46 Michelin-rated restaurants. What's not to love? So check out Orlando, where the possibilities for business travel are unbelievably real. Learn more at OrlandoForBusiness.com. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.